The first reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. Jesus said, "I am telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will not follow someone else instead. They will run away from such a person because they do not know the voice. Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what it meant. So Jesus said again, 'I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep.'"
So we have in that reading Jesus saying he is the gate, and also Jesus saying he is the shepherd. And so I want to think firstly about that second one, Jesus as a shepherd. What attributes does Jesus have as a shepherd? Well, we've just sung that song about Jesus' hands, which describe very much those attributes of Jesus. He was loving and caring. He searches out food for the sheep. He keeps them safe. He comforts them if they get lost or injured. He leads them on the best path through the hills. But Jesus is also our shepherd. So does he do all these things for us too? And do we want him to do all those things for us? In fact, do we need him to do all those things for us? I was struck by the similarity to parts of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that we should pray every day if we are to receive God's blessing on our lives. And we shall be praying it later during our communion part of the service. But one or two thoughts. We pray in that prayer for God's kingdom to come. In that way, we ask God to take the lead in bringing about the kingdom. And then we ask God to give us our daily bread, to sustain us and make sure we are fed, just like those sheep that need feeding. We pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Again, keep us on the right path. And we pray again, "But deliver us from evil." We ask God to protect us and to keep us safe. Again, a characteristic of that shepherd. And we pray, "Forgive us." We ask God to love us, whatever we are like. You remember Jesus refused to let any of those sheep ever to get lost. And so when we say the Lord's Prayer, I wonder if, in fact, we are seeking out those shepherding skills and characteristics that Jesus talked about when he said, I am the good shepherd. And I think that as his sheep, we can be confident that he always will keep us and guide us in the best way possible, just like a good shepherd. And probably that's what we do want, and certainly what we do need if we are to continue to follow him faithfully. So I wonder if we may hear the second reading, please. And this comes from Acts. And it tells us a little bit about the early church, those followers of Jesus, and the way they were coming together as church. So thank you.
The second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship and sharing in the fellowship meals and in prayers. Many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. All the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their property and possessions and distribute the money among all according to what each needed. Day after day they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Amen.
So I'd like to think about Jesus as the gate. We know that Jesus' reference to himself as a gate comes from the shepherds in the Middle East, protecting their sheep by lying across the entrance to the fold. And there they could make sure all the sheep were safe. They could monitor who went in and who came out. They could decide when the gate was open and when it was closed. In other words, they were not only the gates, but the gatekeepers. Very much like in that picture we saw earlier, where the shepherd stood right next to the opening of the fold. He could be the gatekeeper, and when necessary, he could lie down and become the gate. Are we gatekeepers for our own lives? Do we decide who we let into our lives and who we keep out? Are we careful about where we go and who we mix with in order to avoid those unsavory people we don't want in our lives? Or are we more like Jesus, happy to venture anywhere and to mix with all those that happen to cross our paths? Jesus was well known for his openness to all of society, to those who were comfortably well off, to those who oppressed others, tax collectors, priests even, and soldiers. He welcomed into his presence women and children and lepers. He set an example we should follow. But sometimes it's easier to stay in our comfort zones. I'd like to read to you a little piece written by Michael Quoist. You may have heard it before. If you have, just listen again and see if you can find anything else in it. If it's your first time of hearing it, well, just think about what he's saying. Lord, he says, why did you tell me to love all men? I have tried, but I was so peaceful at home. I was so comfortably settled. I was at peace, sheltered from the wind, the rain, the mud, in my ivory tower. But Lord, you have discovered a breach in my defences. You have forced me to open my gate. As a ray of light slips in unnoticed, your grace has stirred me. And rashly enough, I left my gate ajar. And now, Lord, I am lost. Outside, men were lying in wait for me. I did not know they were so near. In this house, in this street, in this office, my neighbor, my colleague, my friend. As soon as I started to open my gate and I saw them come into my door, they came with outstretched hands, burning eyes, longing hearts, like beggars on church steps. The first ones came in, Lord, and I welcomed them, my very own little lambs, my little flock. Till then it was sensible. But the next ones, Lord, I hadn't seen them. They were hidden behind the first ones. There were more of them. They were wretched. And we had to crowd in. I had to find room for them. And now they've come from all over town, all parts of the country, of the world. Numberless, inexhaustible. They don't come alone any longer. They come in groups bound to one another. They come bending under heavy loads, loads of injustice, of resentment and hate, of suffering and sin. They drag the world behind them with everything rusted and twisted or badly adjusted. Lord, they hurt me. Lord, my gate is wide open. I can't stand it anymore. It's too much. It's no kind of life. What about my job, my family, my peace, my liberty, and me, Lord? I have lost everything. I don't belong to myself any longer. Don't worry, God says, you have gained everything. When the men came in, I, your father, I, your God, slipped in amongst them. When we relax our boundaries, when we get involved, then does God actually come into our lives too? I believe he does. He helps us deal with situations where we may be fearful. And most times we don't have to do it on our own. We can do it together in church community. Just like the winter night shelter over at Lancaster Road, where homeless people are cared for and fed and kept safe. A whole group of people pitch in to make it work. And just like that early church in Acts 2, people sharing and working together. And that way we don't close ourselves or our churches to others. Jesus said we must be in the world, if not necessarily of the world. And in community, we can together be sustained through meeting, to hear scripture, to pray and to share bread and wine, just as we are doing today. But the challenge, I think, is to keep the momentum going. Paul said, never tire of doing good. So let's make sure we are brave enough to keep open our gates and our lives and our churches, always open, and just to see where God leads us.